get corrected.
Okay. Okay.
So that letter we were talking about just a couple of minutes ago, that postcard from the girl you care about, the girl that you, the next time you're home for a weekend, you're getting engaged. But for the next couple of weeks, you can't be in contact. I'm stationed on a difficult border and things are silent, but I get to look at that letter. I get to read that letter. I get to hear her voice. Imagine her saying it to me when I read that that postcard. So when we think about how Talmud Torah connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how the what gets us to the who, right? Or how I can peel away the layers to figure out who am I really connecting with when I study Torah. So that sounds very nice in theory. How does that work? How do I connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Torah is wonderful. Torah is a mitzvah. I might even enjoy Talmud Torah. My mind might be challenged by Talmud Torah. That's all great. But where's the God in Talmud Torah? How does that work? So I would suggest three or four points. Number one is that letter. Number one is sentimental value. I don't get to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I daven, but I'm not a Navi. See, he doesn't talk back to me. I don't get to have a dialogue. My tefillah, hopefully, and that's a whole other conversation, would be a great conversation for a different time. How do you make tefillah into a sense of I'm actually talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu? But even if I'm there, if you're there, you're a big tzaddik. Even if you're there, he doesn't talk back to me quite the same way I'm talking to him when I daven. If you're a Navi, that's another conversation, certainly for another time. But in Talmud Torah, number one, is just, here's a letter from my Kadosh Baruch Hu. Here's the postcard from the one I love. But there's more. So you might say, okay, that's very nice. I know the girl. We dated. We have strong feelings for each other. We're on the cusp of getting engaged. We really care about each other. So then, the letter kicks in. The letter continues those strong feelings. So maybe at a certain point in my life, the Talmud Torah is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that postcard from God, so that'll keep that relationship going. But maybe I don't get that so much just now. I don't feel like that relationship, maybe I don't feel the relationship is there yet. So there are other levels in which it works also. So level number two, I think, is Talmud Torah is about understanding. And Talmud Torah is about understanding understanding a little bit of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to work, and even more so, not only about understanding how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works, but how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to work. And to begin to, when you learn, some of you had the chance over the summer to begin to open up a Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch was written in the 1300s. We don't know by whom, one of the great Rishonim, but he didn't sign his name. That's a mystery to this day, who's the anonymous author of the Sefer HaChinuch. And there are a couple of things that are unique about the Sefer HaChinuch. It's a Sefer HaMitzvahs. He's still not the first one to write a Sefer going through what are the Tariq Mitzvahs. But he was one of the first to organize them, not by some abstract order, but Parshas HaShavua, make it a little more relatable, perhaps. You pull out Sefer HaChinuch on Shabbos afternoon, let's find the mitzvah from this week's Parsha. And moreover, he doesn't only tell you where you pasuk the chumash at the mitzvah is based on a couple of the halachas. He also tells you, what's the Kodesh Baruch Hu driving at with this mitzvah? How is this mitzvah, a mitzvah of eating matzah, a mitzvah of paying someone on time, mitzvah, goes through some of the mitzvahs that feel more relatable, some mitzvahs that feel less relatable. Each one will tell you, some of the sharashe ha-mitzvah, what are the roots of the mitzvah? Because how HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to behave, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to act, is rooted, to use this chinuch's word, the shoresh of that behavioral expectation is how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to be inside? What's the inner landscape of a Jew supposed to be like? Which attitude, which aspect of personality, which way, which aspect of how we look at the world is going to be shaped, is going to be changed as we raise through Talmud Torah. So aside from the sentimental value of learning Torah as a way of hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to me, if I can get in that zone, if I want to appreciate how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be, maybe some of us have questions about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't understand. You understand how God works. Doesn't mean you're always going to be created the world. Or other questions about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. You learn Torah, you can find some answers. Learn with the Rebbe, learn with the Chavrusa, open a Sefer, find some answers and get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu a little better. Or maybe it's more than just I have questions, I don't understand, and let me appreciate, but it could be a positive appreciation. It could be the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You learn a great sugya, and it opens your eyes, and things are wonderful. The majesty of ideas. Or it might be the majesty of being part of a chain. If you learn the names of who you're learning, and you appreciate the fact that there's a famous drasha from Soloveitchik, where he describes himself sitting in shir, and he's sitting with Ma'amidim, and all of a sudden he feels as though, a very dramatic man, the door opens and in walks a man with a turban, and it's the Rama. And the Rama begins to be part of the conversation. In walks another man, and it's the Raivan, or the door opens again, or Bekiba walks in, or Tarfon walks in, the Ksos walks in, this one, that one, across the generations, everyone's talking, they're talking with each other, Ta'amidim are talking to them. Now, obviously, you wasn't hallucinating. He didn't actually imagine that the Rambam walked into the room. But what he was trying to make very vivid is that when you learn Torah, you're connecting, you're talking across the generations. When you learn Torah in Yeshiva, we often use present tense. We don't always say the Ram said, often it's the Ram says. Rava says. Well, Rava says. Rava lived 1600 years ago. Yeah, but he's alive. In a way that we don't normally experience. But when you open a Gemara, not only are you reading a love letter from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only can you sometimes understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu better, understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running his world a little better, not only can you be taken by the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ideas, you can be taken by the majesty of people that you're connecting with. You can feel... You can listen to Rabbi Akiva, and you can listen to the Rambam. You know, there's a supposed stira. Let me try to take this a little bit further. There's a supposed contradiction in Rambam. What's a contradiction? See, two different svarim that he wrote. He wrote a Sefer HaMitzvos too, and he wrote, when we say the Rambam in Yeshivos, usually mean the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam, a different situation, maybe think more about the Moreh Nevuchim. Let's talk for a moment about the Sefer HaMitzvos and Mishnah Torah. In both, near the beginning of both Sfarim, he asks the question, love God? The mitzvah to love God. You know, it's a pretty basic mitzvah. We talk about it every single day. We really talk about loving God every day. Kirishma, right? One of the few psukim, Sabalovsky mentioned just this morning, according to the most Rishonim, a mitzvah in our Torah to say twice a day, V'hafz Hashem Elokecha. That's a pretty tall order. Sounds like a pretty basic mitzvah. Love God? Really love God. I'm supposed to do that. You don't see him? Right. He's not the girl I've dated for a couple of months. The Rambam asks that same question in two places. He gives two different answers. In Mishnah Torah, in the beginning of the second chapter of Mishnah Torah, he says, you want to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enjoy, appreciate, study the world he created. Study science, study astronomy, study mathematics, study biology, you'll be taken. I'll just say for myself, I remember during the 3 years I was in college, one of the most powerful spiritual epiphanies that I had was on the 11th floor of Belfer in the middle of a class on advanced quantum field theory. I majored in math and physics, and just to see the elegance of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized the world, breathtaking. Different people have different senses of beauty. Some people may not find beauty in math. You'll find beauty in the Alps. You'll find beauty in birding. You'll find beauty in studying some part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Just like looking up at the starry sky that in Beit Meir you actually get to see. So the Rambam says, you take in the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, you'll come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Sefer HaMitzvos he says, you'll learn Torah, you'll come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So which one is it? There's many Sfarim present. Ooh, a stira, it's a contradiction. Which way do you get to Ahavas Hashem? Is it through studying the world or is it studying the Torah? Now the answer is, why do you have to choose? Right? It could be both. There could be more than one way to get to this. It's not just, okay, there have to be two different ways to get to it. But I could be taken, I could be entranced by a musician who I never met. We use the word love sometimes pretty loosely. But I could admire a musician I never met because I love his music. I could admire a painter I never met because the artwork is gorgeous. So I could come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I see the world that he painted, the world that he sculpted, the world that he created. And I come to see not how he wanted the world to be, physically. HaKadosh Baruch Hu willed us to have three laws of thermodynamics. Kadosh Baruch Hu willed the world to work a certain way. And then there's a deeper level. So you can study science, you can study mathematics, you can fall in love with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Or you can not just look at how Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to physically operate, we could study how Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to morally operate. And we have free will. So with us, it's not a question of how we are going to act, but it's a question of how Kadosh Baruch Hu would want us to act. And studying how Kadosh Baruch Hu's will for us, that's powerful stuff. To see how Kadosh Baruch Hu wants people to grow, that's powerful stuff. So what do we have? And there's more, but I think we've said more than enough. All right, let's just recap what we had, and then we'll get practical. All right, we spoke about a simplest level, Talmud Torah, to come to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have questions about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't understand how things work. I don't understand why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing these mitzvahs. What are we supposed to get out of this halacha? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? So you study Torah, sometimes you'll get answers to questions you have. You'll get more comfortable with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then level two, sometimes it's more than just answering questions, answering problems, but appreciating the majesty, a beautiful shir, a beautiful sukkah. The ideas are amazing, the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ideas. Sometimes it's three. It's the majesty of the chain. The majesty of feeling connected to other people that were touched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we said it's more than that. It's coming to know the mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical. So how do I connect with Him? And that brings us back to where we started. That girl, I came to love that girl. We had a chance to meet each other. We had a chance to spend time talking to each other. We had a chance to get to know each other. And there was a chemistry. So now that letter is going to keep it going. We see here, the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be all through the letter. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body. You'll get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that letter. I'll leave you a little bit of Kabbalah. Anyone here into mysticism? Anyone here go to the Tanya Shir? Yeah, so the Sefer, Sefer HaTanya, the Baal Tanya writes in the fifth parak. You guys up to the fifth parak? The fifth parak, one of the most famous passages, famous perhaps in some circles because the Rav quotes it in Ish HaHalacha, I believe. But famous in many other circles because it's in the fifth parak of Sefer HaTanya. It talks about the fact that the way we really connect to the Kadosh Baruch Hu is through His idea. God doesn't have a body. So in a sense, the closest nexus we have to God is through, but He's an intelligence to the best that we can describe Him. So we can connect Him through His ideas. And then He says, you do a mitzvah so you're surrounded by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But He says, and I'm not a Chabad Chassid, I can't explain this fully. But He says, but what's unique about thought is that when you have an idea, so your mind, so to speak, is full of that idea, but your mouth can, we talk about wrapping your mind around something. So the one way you can, so to speak, very loosely speaking, wrap yourself around, hug a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not just be hugged by Him, to wrap yourself around Kadosh Baruch Hu is only going to happen here. You can have an idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you can wrap your mind around that. You've, so to speak, you're surrounding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, very loosely, metaphorically speaking, much as He is surrounding you, in a way that no other mitzvah can do. It's access HaKadosh Baruch Hu through your mind. We sometimes have this false dichotomy that mind and heart, mind and emotions are totally disconnected. They're totally orthogonal. It's not true. As a matter of fact, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have to go together. Because that's the way we can make our first connection with Rebbe Moshe. Just as with a person with whom you're going to be close. If it's a real relationship, there'll be a lot of conversation and a lot of sharing of ideas and a lot of sharing of attitudes, and it's going to be from that a real, solid, substantive emotional connection, love, is going to grow. So it can be that way with the Kadosh Baruch Hu also. But again, that's a madrega. It's a love of Kadosh Baruch Hu, full passion love of Kadosh Baruch Hu through ideas. But we have a lot of different layers here. And we're going to peel away, not be hooded, you can peel away the layers, but there's so many different layers of connectedness with Rebbe Moshe. So you might be looking at me and saying, this is all really, really great, Rabbi. In theory, sounds really nice, the majesty of ideas, the majesty of connecting the chain of Masorah, and and the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to see the way He wants us to act, and to be taken by that, to wrap your mind around HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ideas. But I've been doing it. Some of you may say, great, now you understand what's been happening to me the last couple weeks. Some of you may say, wow, now you know what's been happening the last couple of years in yeshiva. But some of you may say, this is all very nice in theory, but I'm going to 11th grade, and how is this exactly supposed to happen? When am I exactly carving out the time to have this type of connectedness to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Anyone feeling that way? Yes, no, maybe so? Okay. Shlomo's feeling. Shlomo, ah, okay. This is all great. Or maybe let's put it a little bit differently. Kol is, I'm sure different guys have different had different experiences the last couple of weeks. But maybe you're feeling like, this was, I got a chance to learn Kol, and it's inspiring. I do feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm connected to Masorah. I get a chance to connect to Rosh Yeshiva. I get a chance to feel part of something larger, a part of a team of people connected to Ribbono Shel Olam. And now I'm beginning to maybe even see it's not just people alive now. I'm connected to thousands of years of people who are in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's powerful stuff. Yeah, but then what's happening in October? And well, October. What's happening in November and December? I'm not going to have time for any of this. Right? So let me put just one or two ideas on the table practically, now that we discussed theory, and then maybe you guys will be ready to jump in a little more, to push back, or to force us to sharpen. I think a very basic challenge that a lot of guys have leaving Kol, especially leaving Kol the first time, is to make the get over the following hump. A lot of guys will ask in any one of several different formulations. Like, the learning is, I've really enjoyed learning Torah over the summer. When am I going to do that this coming year? So here's a little secret. If you're lucky enough, and not everyone is, but if you're lucky enough to be in Yeshiva High School, so there actually is a lot of learning going on in your high school, I'm guessing, more than you realize. It may just be that you never experienced it. You may have, or you may not have ever experienced it quite the same way you're experiencing it here. Because that was a Gemara class, and this is learning. That was just Chumash class, and this is learning. So here's the key point. So much of it has to do with what goes on here and here. So much of it has to do with your mindset and your attitude. And yes, Mr. Shem, you'll find maybe now you have thoughts you never had before about carving out time outside of school at night, on a Friday, on a Sunday, on a Shabbos. Finding time for a chavrus with a madrich, with a peer from Kol, with this, with that, with a rebbe, whatever it is. And there are also hours in school. But the transfer, if the hours in school haven't been doing it for you, maybe you need to transform your perspective. And the key, I think, is personal investment. A lot of times, high school happens to you. Some guys are very proactive. But I think for almost everyone, there are classes that just sort of happen. Like, you just sort of, you go with the flow, you have your schedule, hopefully you're actually doing what you're supposed to do, right? And you show up when you're supposed to show up, you have room 308 in period 2, and then room 507 in period 4, and you go from class to class, you go from thing to thing, and you're supposed to be doing certain, and you have SATs coming, and this and that, you do what you're supposed to, you sort of go with the flow, you coast. And maybe you're a good guy, you know, you're doing the right stuff, but you're sort of, the path is laid out, and you're just sort of, you know, going from point to point, like when you were a little kid and they had to connect the dots. And each dot had a number, so you drew from 1 to 2, and then from 2 to 3, and eventually, hey, look at that picture. So sometimes a lot of us are still sort of in that connect the dots. We're like, I'm a good guy, I'm an academically serious guy, maybe I'm like one of the good from kids, however I pigeonhole myself, and I sort of do what I'm supposed to do for a guy in that groove. But it's all just passive. It's like Pesach, when Hashem just took us out of Mitzrayim. And now is the time to make the shift that the Bnei Yisachar talks about. The shift from Pesach to Shavuos. Pesach, when the carbon that begins Sefiras HaOmer is barley, is animal food, because we were sort of like passive. We weren't really, I mean, we were human beings, but we weren't fully human. We were just, it was being done to us. We got a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he took us out of Mitzrayim. And over the course of 7 weeks, we grew to the point where we were ready for Ma'achal Adam. We were ready for the Shtei HaLechem of Shavuos, which is bread, which is wheat, which is chametz, which represents becoming more fully human, because we became masters of our destiny. Junior partners like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clearly he was a giver and we were the receiver, but we weren't just passive recipients of Torah, we embraced it, we stepped forward, we said, Nas Tevenishma. And that growth of being passive to active that you can pull off now. And that can make all the difference between 10th grade class and 11th grade learning. It's your personal investment. Because 11th grade will happen to you whether you like it or not. Right? And 11th grade is going to happen, you know, and the classes are going to come. And if you have the blessing of being in a Jewish school, so the Torah classes will come as well as trigonometry or precalculus or Calc AB and physics and American history and whatever else your school happens to have in its 11th grade curriculum. The Gemara will come also and the Chumash will come also and so on and so forth. And if it just comes also, so then you're moving from 10th grade class to 11th grade class. But if you make over the course of the next week and a half, spend time thinking about, I'm transitioning. I'm transitioning to personal engagement and personal investment. Yes, make extra time outside of what goes on in yeshiva is definitely a sign, an expression of personal investment. Yes, choosing to find that chavrusa is an expression of personal investment. But those things are not just valid in and of themselves, but they will remind you and they will manifest, to express to you the personal investment in making what happens in shir, in class, learning. It's up to you. If you walk in the way, yeah, I'm a firm guy, so it's not math, it's not history, but I don't know it's Kodesh, but fundamentally I'm still in class mode. It's just, you know, I'm showing up where I'm supposed to show up, and I'm a good guy, so I study and I take tests and I do well. Then what a wasted opportunity. Because however many hours you have in your school for Luda Kodesh, you could convert that into hours a day of learning. Hours a day of learning. I'm trying to figure out how am I going to have a half hour pulling the chavrusa. This is my madrich. Definitely valuable. That half hour madrich is gold. And so are 10, 15, 20 hours a week of learning that could take place in the morning or the afternoon. But it's up to you to make that switch. To flip that switch in your head and to say, I'm not just going to sort of go with the flow and let it just happen to me. I know everyone else is doing class, but for me, it's learning. For me, it's learning. Now it's Talmud Torah. Now it's Dvar Hashem. I can find Dvar Hashem in physics class also. Through studying his Ratzon of how the world ought to be. I'm going to find Dvar Hashem even more powerfully in Gemara, in Mishnah, in Navi. And then, to bring it all together, and then class becomes meaningful learning. Because the four, going back to recap what we said before, the four elements will change. It will become learning with excitement. It will become learning with understanding. It will become learning with a sense of Mesorah and learning with a sense of reverence. To put it differently, it will become learning with excitement, learning with heart. It will become learning with more understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in us. It's learning with head. It will become learning with a sense of I'm plugging into I walk into Gemara class, I walk into Mishnah class, I'm plugging into Rabbi Yehuda, I'm plugging into Ravina, I'm plugging into the Rashba. That's learning with a sense of relationship with other people, with Rabbeim, with Chavrusas, and with 3,500 years of holy Jews. And finally, learning with reverence, to understand that I walk in differently because I'm learning to remind yourself every once in a while that I'm learning Dvar Hashem. That ultimately, learning with heart and with head, and learning with the sense of relation with people, brings you to step four, to learn with the sense of relation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I think a lot of it is already there. Practically speaking, the pieces for many of us are there. If you're lucky enough to be in a yeshiva high school, so there are a lot of pieces there. And yes, you're going to want to add more on your own. But the more on your own is also going to be primarily taking what already is and making it your own. Take where it is and changing the way you look at it, transform it. And that brings us back to where we started. Because that's what Rabbi Yehuda realized. Things often aren't what they seem. That's how we began. Right? So Talmud Torah in general, we had a chance to begin today by thinking about sort of theoretically, understanding what it is about Talmud Torah that maybe we didn't notice before, we didn't think about before, that can connect us, avenues to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But it's also taking the Talmud Torah that's already in our lives, that has been in our schedules for years, and seen it for what it is, the reverse of the Nevi Huda, seeing the wagon driver for the successful merchant that he really is, seeing the class for the opportunity for learning that it really can be. I would love to take questions. I love to take questions now publicly. I appreciate that some guys may be interested in asking questions publicly. Some guys may prefer to ask questions privately. Some of the questions may be personalized. I'm around. I'm glad to take either one. Yeah.
So recently you spoke about how we're supposed to change what we get, something that what we want. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the learning goal is choice. Mm-hmm. That might make it more enjoyable, but in school there's less choice when it comes to that. So it's harder to...
That's a very good point. Right. That is definitely a very good point. The fact that you got to choose where you want to go, and the fact that night Seder you get to choose, It's definitely true. And there will be, there can be an element of that here as well on two levels, both in terms of if you're choosing to have a chavrusa, choosing to have learning opportunities out of the regular schedule, definitely there you have a lot of freedom. And there's a qualitative choice in terms of choosing whether and how you're going to embrace it, even what's already going on. The truth is, if you think about it, in Kolel, it's also a mix. Because you get to choose, you want to do a nice Seder, to an extent. You get to choose, you want to do a Le'elion, but you don't really get to choose who your Madrich is. You don't really get to choose who your Rebbe is. I mean, you could push for a change, but basically, you know, it is what it is. But you're right, I think that element of free choice colors everything. So that's what we're talking about, right? You can find that element of free choice during the year also that can color stuff. Did that speak to your question? Yeah.
How are we realistically going to balance Talmud Torah with the SATs?
How are you realistically going to balance Talmud Torah with the SATs? That's a great question. It's a great question on a couple of levels. It's a great question immediately. It's also a great question that's a little bit of a preparation for how am I going to balance Talmud Torah with my work obligations. I have a job. I work for Arthur Anderson. I put in nine. I don't personally. But I almost worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers, so as an actuary. So you put in your hours, and you have time on Sundays, you have time here and there, but it's a lot of time. Right? And how do you balance, as an adult, how are you going to balance time with your wife and kids in Ritz Hashem, and the Beis HaMedrash and at work? And it's in a sense, it's good practice. I'm going to say something very unpopular and maybe impractical. If you really want to practice good time management, I know it's very unpopular thing to say in high school, but when the paper is due on 3 weeks from now on Tuesday, so it does. It's not a mitzvah d'oraisa to start Monday night. Certainly, it's a strong minhag, but it's not a mitzvah rabbanan. It's certainly not a mitzvah d'oraisa to start the night before. So the truth, I know, who are we fooling? It's been said, if they give it, it would be better to assign a paper for a week from now, that I'll start right away. If you assign a paper for a month from now, I'm going to forget about it and not do it till the night before. Right? We've been there, of course, no one here would ever do such a thing. Maybe you have friends who know people who do stuff like that. So number one is, but really, when you get grown up, when you could start growing up now, we could start growing up now. So answer number one is good time management is definitely helpful. To the extent that you can do it, it's not going to be perfect, but to the extent that I can have some sense of what do I need to get accomplished and how much time do I need and sort of to space things out over time, you'll be a calmer, happier person, and you can block out time. You can have sort of a balance. If you do your studying over 3 months instead of 3 weeks, you can have a more balanced diet in terms of what your week looks like. That's definitely one thing. Another thing is... Another thing is that finals time, and whenever you go through different phases. Yeah, you're right. The 2 nights before the SAT, you may not be learning as much as you want to. That's normal. That's healthy, and then you'll get back to the regular zone afterwards. But to an extent, a lot of it also has to do with scheduling. Then we have time for one more question. Rabbi Schechter mentioned, Rabbi Tursky mentioned last week that the Rambam, the Rav's Ha'ara, that the Rambam seems to say that Kviyas Itzim L'Torah is a part and parcel of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That when you're scheduled, when having time in your calendar for learning is very different than just learning when you can. And it's different on a lot of levels. Well, on practical, he spoke about sort of the more theoretical aspect of it, the symbolic aspect of it. Practically speaking, if it just you try to learn at some point, it's going to get lost. If you have time allotted, and the more structured it is, and you have the chavrusa, so that's definitely going to help. Chavrusas will keep each other honest. So definitely, the more structured you are, the more likely is that, except in extreme circumstances, it's going to hang. One more question? Solve all the world's problems. Okay? Noam.
It seems that color learning is purely lishma.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to high school, it's not lishma, it's about lishma. So when people in Shir, they try and treat it Lishma learning, there are some people in Shir who treat it as a class. Like I need a department of Shir 4 years, and that takes away from the learning.
That's an excellent, excellent, excellent point. And that's allied to what you were raising before, right? Another demon that definitely conspires to sort of crowbar us away from looking at Talmud Torah as Talmud Torah. And one of the forces that definitely pushes you into school mode is their tests and their grades, and number one, the fact that in that respect it's treated and structured the same as any other class, and even leaving that aside, just like it could suck the soul out of Talmud Torah. That's definitely true. I think that what we spoke about before is it may be the key also, because that's what will, if you go with inertia, that's what will happen. The default is this is class, and there are forces that will help to push you that way. So if you just sort of go with the flow, you'll naturally feel like it's class, and tests will make you feel more like it's class, and everyone's doing sort of the same gymnastics and the same cramming and the same everything for this test and the other test, right? That all will, but it doesn't need to be the way. But the way you're going to avoid it is an active decision that is going to be different. And I think the only way to maintain that, I'll close with this. They say that the Jew once asked Mr. Saul Salanter, founder of the Muslim movement. This Jew, I suspect, was one who was not so taken with the whole idea of learning Muslim. So he said to Mr. Salanter, probably sarcastically, yeah, you're talking to the Muslim. Let's say a guy only has 15 minutes a week to learn. So what you learn, Gemara, you learn Muslim. That's sort of like that. It's a catch 22. So Saul Salanter looked at him and said, of course you should learn Muslim. Because if he learns 15 minutes a week of Muslim, he'll discover he has more than 15 minutes a week to learn. Right. Which is very clever, but there's a lot of depth to that. Because if you just go with the flow, you'll make certain assumptions. If you take out time, learning Muslim really is about taking out time for self-reflection. Taking out time to think actively about what I'm doing, as opposed to just sort of doing things mindlessly. That's the first major lesson in Mesillas Yesharim. So, making a cheshbon nefesh is going to be key. There needs to be a time, whether it's a person that you talk to, or just time that you set aside for yourself to sort of check in with yourself once a week, once a month, on Rosh Chodesh, on a Thursday night, on the way back from Mishmar. Just sort of sit with yourself in the bus for 15 minutes and just think, like, where am I at? How was my week? And to what extent did it fit with how I want it to be? What was good that I want to keep on doing? And what ought to be different? And what's going to be different? How am I going to make it different next week? Right. If there isn't ongoing active self-reflection, that's right, definitely all these forces will conspire to sort of get swept up in the flow. But between the distractions of SATs and APs and everything else, and this is a distraction of life, and the attitudes going on and the tests, but we can rise above it if you maintain a clarity about who this really is. Is Talmud Torah. Who lies behind that? Kadosh Baruch Hu. I say from the Rebbe's perspective, I try very hard to talk at Kadosh Baruch Hu and Jira. To talk about Machshava topics and just talk Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam quotes the Pasuk in the Pirush of Mishnayos. He doesn't just say Kasuv. He says in Arabic, Kalalah. But that's Amar Hashem. God said, it could be a very dry, legalistic mitzvah. God said this Pasuk. Remember, it's Ribbono Shel Olam was talking to you. And you can find ways to do that yourself, whether it's the poker chips, or whatever other mazgir that you'll have, but certainly a cheshbon nefesh regular basis, I think, is critical for making sure, you should do well. You should, tests can be good for chazar, and you have a test, you do well. That's fine. But to make sure that it becomes the floor and not the ceiling, that's your starting point for what you want to build on, not just that that's all it can be is a test. Cheshbon nefesh will make sure that you can grow and build beyond those constructs. I would love to take more questions. You guys probably have to be somewhere else. But I'm around and you're around. I'm looking forward to continuing the conversation. Go ahead. Yeah.